This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 2. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. This is our second podcast. In our feature segment, we'll be looking at why we're in the construction business and why it may be a very good business to be in for the next couple of decades. In our legal segment, we'll be looking at contractors' liability for wages for hiring an unlicensed subcontractor. And in our safety section, we'll be talking about employee involvement and ethics in our safety programs. And I think you will find our quick tip very helpful and interesting. Welcome to our feature segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. This past 2 weeks in the construction business has made me wonder why in the world I ever wanted to be in this business. We are behind on one project due to weather conditions and the owner doesn't understand that we can't work in the rain. Another large project wasn't able to be started due to banking and funding problems. And to make matters worse, our dog died. Well, I'm just kidding about the dog, but that's just been the kind of week it's been. In our last podcast, I said that I really fell in love with this business about age 18 when I was in the patio building business and when I went on to work as an apprentice bricklayer making all that great money. Well, this weekend, some of that came back, too. I went over to my in-law's house. Been married to my wife now for 38 years. We just celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary at Walt Disney World with our whole family, and it was wonderful. And I went out back, and there was a patio, the same patio that I built when I was 18 years old, back before my wife and I were married. And you know, I still get the same pleasure sitting out there looking at that, knowing that that's something that I had done and left behind so many years ago. You know, I can go almost anywhere in this country now and find projects that I have built or been a part of. And I know with each of those projects that I've left something behind that'll be here a whole lot longer than I will. I've just recently completed reading a book called A Whole New Mind by Daniel Pink. And in this book, he talks about a paradigm shift that is happening in our country today. We're moving more from a left-brain thinking society to one that relies heavily also on our right brain. And in case those of you who may not know quite what that means, when you're talking about left-brain thinking, that's more analytical thinking, numbers, quantities, engineering, and the right-brain thinking primarily deals with design, arts, music, this type of thing. As this shift begins to take place, there are three basic questions that he poses that we have to ask ourselves and about our businesses. Can what we do in business be done cheaper overseas? We all know that a lot of our manufacturing and technology positions are now being done in Asian countries. Can what we do in our businesses be replaced by computers? And is there a need for what we provide in the near future? As I think about the construction industry, we really can't farm our work out to manufacturing or information workers overseas. We're still building buildings, you know, from the foundations up. Computers can make our work easier, but really can't replace what it is that we do. And there's a definite need for what the construction industry has to offer in the near future. As we think about the changes that will be coming up with that paradigm shift, I think we're going to have to be much more sensitive to the aesthetic and comfort needs of our clients. I think that our clients will always be concerned with the cost of the projects that we are delivering, but I think that they're going to be looking for value in that cost. We are seeing that paradigm shift to being more concerned about our environment, a shift in building green projects, being LEED compliant, and I think our clients are going to be looking for our services to be provided at the least amount of risk to them, and they are going to be looking for our projects to be delivered in a no-hassle environment. That means that we are going to have to stay up to date on current issues involving construction and construction technology. We're going to have to learn to manage and operate our businesses much more cost-effectively, utilizing all of the resources for management that are available to us. Building buildings, building highways, and building all the things that we build as contractors can't be replaced in this country, but I certainly think there's going to be a paradigm shift in the way that those services are delivered. Now, when I look back and reflect on my years being in the construction business, I have to admit, I really do still love it. And I think that there is a tremendous opportunity in the future for our young men and women as entrepreneurs to venture into the construction industry, build strong and healthy construction companies. But I think they're going to have to do it in light of the paradigm shift that is on its way. In this segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast, we're going to be looking at some legal issues that apply to our construction industry. We are going to be looking at a case where a California court has ruled that a general contractor is responsible for the employee wages of an unlicensed subcontractor, even though he paid the subcontractor for those wages. I should note here that the information contained in this section of our podcast comes from the Construction Claims Advisor, a monthly publication that I receive and read regularly, and it is included with the express permission of WPL Publishing Company. And in fact, they have included a special offer for anybody that's interested in this publication after listening to our podcast. You can find this publication online at www.constructionclaims.com. You will find this link in our show notes, along with a special offer from WP Publishing Company and a special promotion code for that offer. So please check that out in our show notes. Now, you might think that this ruling being issued by a California court may not apply to you in your local area. But if you are in an area where you have contractor licensing laws, most states have statutes on the books that may be very similar to the California law. And in most cases, contractors' attorneys can submit as a part of their lawsuit into evidence the rulings of other court jurisdictions to help persuade the jurisdiction that you're in that this is a justifiable claim. In this case, a California court has ruled that when a contractor uses an unlicensed subcontractor, the contractor is obligated to pay the subcontractor's employees for not only workman's compensation and unemployment benefits, but also unpaid wages. A little bit of background about this case. Sanders Construction Company, Incorporated was a general contractor for the construction of a hotel property in Hesperia. Sanders subcontracted the drywall work to Huberto Figueroa Drywall Company. Sanders later learned that Figueroa's contractor's license had expired prior to the award of the subcontract. Sanders continued to pay Figueroa, and the subcontractor continued to work on the project. After Figueroa left the job site, six of the subcontractor's laborers brought claims against Sanders for unpaid wages. They said Figoria had told them that they would be paid by Sanders. The contractor replied that it had paid Figoria in good faith and was not responsible for the subcontractor's unpaid wages. The laborers argued that under California Labor Code Section 2750.5, a contractor is the statutory employer of any unlicensed subcontractor and also the employees of the unlicensed subcontractor. Consequently, Sanders was liable for the wages owed to the employees of Feragro. Sanders responded that the labor code made the contractor a statutory employer only for the purposes of workman's compensation and unemployment benefits, not wages. The court opinion, relied upon by the laborers interpreting Section 2750.5, involved unemployment benefits. Sanders said it would be unwieldy to apply the statute to a subcontractor's wage obligation because the contractor had no independent means of verifying those wages. A trial court ruled in favor of the unpaid laborers, and Sanders had to appeal. The Court of Appeal of California said that the same policy that makes a contractor responsible for workman's compensation and unemployment benefits also extends to unpaid wages. These are the obligations of a statutory employer. The court rejected Sanders' verification argument. The other benefits are tied to wages, so an accurate determination of wages was already needed. The judges issued the following reason for their ruling. Although we agree that one reason for Section 2750.5 is to ensure compensation for injured workers, we also recognize it is fundamental that workers be paid. We discern no meaningful distinction exists between being paid wages and receiving other benefits based on wages. In both instances, the same policy reasons migrate against allowing a general contractor to escape liability for the obligations of an unlicensed subcontractor. Therefore, we reject this argument by Sanders. Obviously, Sanders, as a general contractor, should have determined the subcontractor's licensing status before awarding the subcontract. It is more inexcusable that the contractor allowed the subcontractor to continue performance after learning of the expired license. I think that it is critical that we make sure that all of the contractors that we're working with on a project, particularly those that are subcontracted under us, have the proper licensing in states where licensing is required. These licensing laws are in place not only to protect the consumers or public from unscrupulous contractors, but also to protect the integrity of our contractors and to ensure that they have proper education and that we're not out there having to compete with people that are not qualified in the fields that we have spent a lot of money developing our businesses in. These laws are in place to protect our businesses as well. Since 1971, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, has been providing safety guidelines. Few people truly understand the benefits of these guidelines, one of which is the prevention of construction-related deaths. In 2007, the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that some form of negligence resulted in 1,239 construction deaths. Although construction workers comprise only 8% of the total U.S. workforce, construction deaths account for more than 22% of all work-related deaths. Recently, a construction and crane accident on a high-rise in Manhattan, New York, killed 7 people. Although certain safety standards from OSHA have not been updated since 1971, it is the duty of the employer to take responsibility in digging deeper on how to make the work environment safer for the workers. Even though sometimes it takes more time to work safely, there are those employers that will take the additional time to complete the work needed to ensure that their employees work safely. However, there are companies that will cut corners where safety is concerned and put their employees at risk. Like the company responsible for the crane accident last March 2008 in New York. The rigger overseeing raising a load used only 4 slings instead of 8. The OSHA report filed said that the crane's manufacturer had recommended the use of 8 chain blocks instead of slings to secure the collar that was being raised. If the crew lifting the load had not been pushed to meet the schedule, to get it done faster, and the company had demanded that they work safely in accordance with the crane guidelines, 7 lives would have been saved. It is our responsibility as construction company owners to stress to our construction workers the importance of working safely, and that at no time is it permissible to work in an unsafe condition. And now it's time for a Construction Business Mastery Quick Tip. Over this past month, I have been listening to comments coming back from our first podcast and have been asking contractors what their primary concerns were about the construction business today. Overwhelmingly, I've been getting replies that contractors need more sales and they need to get paid for their work. One of our listeners sent me a very interesting little short article called 5 Construction Sales Secrets. After reading it, I decided to share it with our Construction Business Mastery podcast listeners. It's a very simple, easy read, and I found it quite refreshing. You can download a copy of it at www.constructionbusinessmastery.com/podcast/sales. Or log on to the Construction Business Mastery podcast, and you will find a link for it in our show notes. In our next podcast, we're going to be talking about getting back to the basics. When times are tough, we have to fall back to the fundamentals that make us successful. And we will be looking at those fundamentals in our next podcast. Remember, in your construction business, don't hope that you will succeed. Plan for success.